You better have your pants cinched up good if you're gonna fly by the seat like you normally would. Yeah, the world is tough, the world is mean, but this'll be the worst day that you've ever seen.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Joel.
Story whole time.
It is story.
Didn't make you guess this week.
You didn't, and I appreciate that. I was not in a place where I could guess.
If you listen to last week's episode, you heard a couple tales of true crime.
True crime.
In which, I'm sorry to say, the police did not step up.
No, I would agree.
So guess what? They have another chance.
This is their third chance. Three strikes, you're out. Or
you're
sitting at an 0-2 count.
Don't talk to us. Talk to Bill Clinton, right?
That's right. That's pretty good.
Jeffrey Dammit's in the house.
Burr, burr, burr. I don't know. Well, you said that made me feel like we should have done that.
A couple likely responses. Oh, Jeffrey Dammit?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll be like, oh, Jeffrey Dammit's in the house.
Yeah.
I know Jeffrey Dammit. Other people are like, Jeffrey Dammit? Is this guy's real name? I'm like,
whoops.
I mean, it's his name now.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't always.
Jeffrey Dammit is... I go way back with Jeffrey Dammit.
You do, yeah.
I told you when we got together that... Jeffrey Dammit got me involved in the improv game back in the day.
That's true.
Not to drag that word into this whole endeavor.
It's fine. He got you going.
Secret's out.
Yep.
I did improv back in the day.
Back in the day.
I'm not going to claim it was good, but...
Well, it's fine.
And we did Second City together.
See?
And we ran around town being crazy together.
Yeah.
And we lived in the same effed up neighborhood. He bartended with my wife. At a bar called The Garage. The Garage is most famous for, Ian, hit me.
Swingers.
No! You know, in Tenacious D, all of the open mic scenes, series, those were all done at The
That's
Garage.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a Garage.
I didn't know that.
And a lot of adventures there. Jeffrey is a man of adventure.
Yes.
I had a fucking blast recording this
you
story.
Did.
And I think people will hear that.
I think so, too. And I'm going to drop something in here. So I was talking to my girlfriend about the episode. She's like, oh, what did you guys record last night? And I said, oh, it was a story. And I told her what this story is about.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I know that story.
Oh, really?
Yes. There's a picture mentioned in this. She's seen that picture. When I pulled it up on his Facebook, she's like, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
This is a story that a lot of people probably already know from social media if you live in the Los Angeles area.
Ooh, let's talk about that after the story.
Okay.
So in that case, I don't think there's anything else to say. Oh, let's give Glassworks Coffee another shout out.
Let's do it.
We got a sponsor. It's going gangbusters.
Yeah.
I'm totally into the cold brew. It got me back on coffee after 3 years. Got me back in the addiction game. I'm so happy to be here.
So let me ask you something.
Go for it.
Is Glassworks Coffee, when I use this promo code, am I just going to save the normal 10%?
Shit, no.
What?
Well, does Glassworks Coffee sound like a cheapo BS organization?
I guess not.
It's not called
Cheapo Works.
Styrofoam Works.
Oh, glasses right? More expensive than styrofoam.
Yeah. Glassworks Coffee.
So if I put the code STORYHOLE at checkout in the coupon code,
yeah, all
I'm
caps.
Not just going to get 10% off?
No, you're going to get twice that.
Fuck you.
That's 20%.
Fuck you if you're lying to me.
Why would I
do that? I
guess
I'm going to have to try.
You almost made me forget another important aspect is if 20% wasn't enough, you're going to get free shipping on orders over $30.
Fuck. And where would I do
that? And that has nothing to do with the code. That's every day.
And where would I do this? Where would I find this coffee?
Glassworkscoffee.com.
Shit.
Ben, let me know how you like that ad.
I think he liked it a lot.
Now, Jeffrey Dammit.
Here we go.
You should follow him. Seek him out. JeffreyDammit.
Damn.
He's the host with the most. He's an actor. He's got skills.
He does.
He's a showman.
He sure is.
And you're going to get a taste of that right now. Jeffrey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This is our first on mic. Cheers.
Cheers. We've had a lot of cheers off mics.
We have. I was telling.
Oh, that burns. I just had 4 wisdom teeth pulled.
Oh,
that's just the dentist. So even though I'm not drunk yet, if I'm slurring, I'm literally full of Novocaine still at the moment.
Oh, cool. Wait, when was that? Yesterday?
I was at the dentist again today.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the story I brought you here for.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Now, I want you to start at the beginning. Cause here's the thing about Jeffrey Dammit. These days, Jeffrey Dammit lives his life online. You can follow.
No, share my life online.
Shares his life online.
When you say lives your life online, I think of somebody just sitting there like.
That's true. It's definitely not that.
I just that's keep a hitting good record on my phone as I go through my adventures.
Let's just say his stories are a reality show into and of themselves.
There's been
is
offers.
Is that what you say? Have there?
Yeah, but there hasn't been the right offer.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some free sizzles first. So I tuned into this story about halfway through. I'm like, what the fuck? So where did that evening begin? Were you working that night?
I don't know. I was drunk that Saturday night. I believe it was Saturday, February 2nd.
Oh, boy.
I was drunk because it was Saturday, whether I was working drunk or free time drunk, you know, drunk is drunk.
That's another thing about Jeffrey is he's carrying the banner for all of us old retirees. Not that I don't drink, but I don't drink and run around the city like this guy.
You've got a wife and kids. I've got puppies 3 to 4 days a week. Okay. It's a different level of responsibility.
I didn't realize you had shared custody.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go on. Okay. You were drunk on a Saturday night.
So drunk on a Saturday night. I go home. I open my door. My puppies greet me. I take them out. They pee. We go up to my bedroom. I stumble into bed while trying to disrobe as much as I can. I pass out.
What time did you get home that night? Do you have any idea?
5 a.m., give or take an hour.
Okay. That's not expecting to be that late, but does irrelevant.
Yeah, somewhere between 4 and 6. I don't recall it being bright.
Okay.
But I know there was late night shenanigans. So I wake up at noon. I got two puppies laying next to me in bed, just chilling. I pee and brush my teeth and do regular morning things. And then I go back down my stairs and I'm playing on my phone. As he told you, I'm always on my goddamn phone. And I'm just like checking my Instagrams and what have you. And I'm walking with my puppies at my feet. And I'm going to my kitchen to start my morning cup of coffee.
This is noon.
Backstory. I blew my face up in 2007.
Please explain.
I've had like 9 sinus surgeries.
Okay.
So.
But what do you mean you blew your nose up? Shooting, spitting a fireball?
Blowing fire on a music video and I smacked my face with a flaming bottle with a mouthful of flammables and it shot out my nose. And
up your nose?
Out my nose, out the back of my neck, through my nose.
So like some people get coke coming out of their nose, you got fire coming out of their nose.
I'm literally a dragon.
I was going to say, you're a fire-breathing dragon.
The center of my nose is made out of the cartilage from my right ear.
Holy shit.
So my, but the point of that, come on, that's another story.
That is another story.
The point was, I'm trying to make a quick second about, I don't smell well.
Okay.
Sorry, I smell fine. I can't smell well. So I get to the walkway into my kitchen. You know, I walk through my living room, my dining room, and I get to my kitchen, and I'm kind of looking at my phone, my left hand, and I look to my right, and I go, who the fuck are you? And some shaggy-haired 20-something-year-old scrawny motherfucker is sitting there cooking in my wok.
In your wok?
Yes.
What?
He chose the wok. He chose, mind you, the Teflon-coated nonstick wok. That fucking criminal was using a metal spatula. Excuse me.
Lock him up.
I don't mean to make judgments. So
you did what anyone would do.
I do what anybody would do. I have my phone's in my hand, so I flip it over to camera to get a picture of him. And I hope you throw this on your website.
We will. This will be the image for
So and you might be able to look as if you hold it down. It's one of those live pictures. So you could kind of tell he says cooking when I say, what the fuck are you doing in my kitchen? And he looks and he goes, cooking, and looks back at the wok and gets back to the hot dog he's working on. My outdoor barbecue spatula and a Teflon wok cooking Hebrew National Wieners. So I'm assessing the situation, and I very much credit my sensibility and my actions to working in bars and nightclubs for decades.
Right.
So I look, the first things I see are the upsetting things like Kobe beef patty wrapper. He went through all my good burgers. With the empty jar of fucking artichoke hearts next to it. Like, he fancied
So he's been feasting.
He's been feasting. He did all my Kobe burgers, which, mind you, I know they're not real Kobe beef. You buy it Ralph's here, but it's fucking still tasty. With the artichoke hearts, went through all my burgers. Now he's halfway through an open pack of Hebrew Nationals. He's like 3 to 4 dogs into my Hebrew Nationals.
You sure you didn't have more people over earlier?
I have no idea. Because, you know, a scrawny junkie like so shouldn't have such the appetite.
Exactly.
But then I see to the right is where I keep all of my fucking huge-ass knives. And I got a lot of huge-ass knives. So my first thought was, get between him and the blades.
Mm-hmm.
So as I yell, I'm like, well, you get the fuck out of here. And he's still, like, dead set on cooking. Like I was interrupting him. How dare I? You, sir, are a cunt. Can you go back upstairs and sleep for another hour? I'm almost through your fridge. So I dive between him and the thing, and he luckily wasn't trying to kill me, so he didn't realize what I was doing. So I blocked all the knives, and then I just grabbed the first handle I could, which luckily on the scare factor was a meat cleaver. Unluckily, it was like a gift 20 years ago, and it was like as dull as the last girl I dated.
But he
didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I raised the meat cleaver in the air, and I hit record on the camera. Because at this point, you want evidence. I'm like, if I have to kill this guy, I need proof that he's turning around and attacking me.
Right.
Because otherwise, it's just like, drunk guy wakes up with dead transient in kitchen. Story yeah. about his sentencing at 11.
Yeah, totally.
So I start chasing him, and that's the video you saw.
Yeah.
And I'm just yelling, get the fuck out of my house. And
but I didn't see that video till like 2 days after. I was sort of like piecing this together.
So was I, motherfucker, and I live there. but it's a freaky mentality because I got my dogs at my feet. Like, they're tiny. He can kick one and kill one.
Right.
So, like, I'm literally, like, my arm is cocked like the fucking hammer of a gun. And I'm as calm as I can on the outside, but I'm freaking out on the inside. Because for as many times as there's been a bar fight, I mean, you remember the garage days? I fought guys who had guns with a baseball bat. And right. I was fine. But I'm in my fucking home thinking, out of all the times I said I'm going to kill this motherfucker in my life, I'm sitting there thinking, holy fuck. I might have to kill this motherfucker. And it really hits you different at that point.
Okay.
When you're if he turns around and raises his hand, I literally have to use a dull meat cleaver to end a human life. And that's fucking freaky. Luckily for both of us, he scooted down the stairs. I chase him out my door, chase him down the hallway, out the front gate, or glass door. And this I felt bad when I had to give the cops the video because I yelled something like, if I see you in my neighborhood again, you're dead, motherfucker. Yeah. And I'm like, threatening life. But they're like, that's fine. We would have said the same, sir.
Okay, good.
And it wasn't until I watched the video that I realized he was in my Dolce & Gabbana fucking pants.
That's what I was going to be my next
Those baggy-ass pants he was on. It's not that he was a skinny junkie. He was a skinny junkie. But those were my pants that I was trying to take in for me. And that's why they were laying in my living room. I didn't really realize that till I saw the video. But also, there was a clue when I got back upstairs and found his soaking wet jeans and underwear on my living room floor. So...
So he, you chase him out.
I chase him out. I go in. I call the fuzz. An hour or so later, they show up. And
from two blocks away, by the way.
You do know where I live. So they show up. I'm out front chain smoking in a bathrobe with a meat cleaver handle sticking out of the pocket, which alarms the cops. Barefoot purple haired guy just shaking and smoking like fucking motherfucker in my fucking house, fucking kill the fuck. And they pull up like, sir, could you please take that meat cleaver out of your pocket? And I'm like, yes, yeah, there, it's out of the fucking ground. Are you happy? They were actually very nice, but I was a little high strung, you know.
Uh-huh.
I did not need my coffee that day. Side notes, I never made the coffee, didn't quite need it. I was awake. So they come in, they were very impressed that I have photos and videos. They bagged his underwear and pants and looked around the house, tried to assess everything he took. And I'm like, I mean, you've been to my house. I've lived there decades. Mm-hmm. I'm a pack rat. Like, he could have taken 75 things that I still don't know about yet. So they do their thing. In hindsight, the next day, when the fingerprinting cop came, it would have been nice for the cops who showed up to the scene of the crime to tell me not to clean everything and throw everything away, which they gave me no inclination.
They didn't say, like, someone's coming tomorrow.
They didn't say anybody's following up on anything.
Okay.
They bagged the stuff for DNA, said, sorry, sir, here's the police report number. Hopefully we can find him.
But they really don't give a shit because all he made away with is a pair of Dolce & Gabbana pants. So realistically,
Kobe beef burgers and artichoke hearts, motherfucker.
The cops don't care.
So the fingerprinting lady comes to the kitchen and she's like, well, what were the pans? And I'm like, they're the ones in the fucking dishwasher. I was a fucking junkie in my place cooking. Like, I'm not leaving. I planned on eating again, you know? So she's like, well, what is there left? So she went out and she did my balcony. Why is that funny? I wasn't trying to make a joke there.
Because I know what your balcony looks like. Explain to the viewers what your balcony looks like.
What do you mean?
Is it not covered in bats and skulls?
Oh, okay, yes.
Spiderwebs?
Sorry. You have to remind me that my life doesn't look normal to the rest of you. I was like, I don't know, sliding glass door, bench.
Witch, spiderwebs, and spiders
with
that
an
have
ashtray on
been
it for
up year
guests.
Round for 15 years.
Yes, there are. My balcony does have quite a lot of Halloween decorations.
She went out there to dust for prints. Okay. Yes.
So, and it was raining. It was the rainy season for us.
Right.
It was a very rainy year, so there was nothing there. Everything was wet. She couldn't get shit.
Because that's the assumption is that he climbed up on the balcony to get in.
Well, that's what he did.
Did he?
Here's my theory.
Did he mess up any of your decorations?
Can we get to my theory? He messed up a bunch of them. He's laughing at my misery.
Cruel. It's cruel.
God damn.
I've been on antibiotics for 10. I haven't had a drink in 10 days.
I've been on antibiotics since I got my teeth pulled last Tuesday. You want to fucking wrestle about penicillin? We'll wrestle about penicillin.
All right. Go for it. No, not wrestling the story.
So, in my theory, and mind you, my theory's correct. It was raining. He climbed up on the fences.
Right.
Climbed from the fences up to the balcony bottoms, up to the fences of the balconies. Looked at my neighbor's balcony, which is barren. Looked at my balcony, which had a bench with a cushion on it.
Ooh. Exciting.
And it chose to get out of the rain by sleeping on that. At which point, my dogs would have run outside and barked profusely. They will bark.
Right.
Mind you, it's a 14-pound poodle and a 23-pound shih tzu. They just bark.
Right.
If they did bite, you wouldn't notice.
A toy poodle.
Don't you call her that. I take her very seriously. So I'm still working at the bar. These dogs went out, yelled at this ass munch. This ass munch pet them. Luckily, if I believed in anything, I'd think that thing.
Right.
Luckily, he pet them till they calmed down and they went back in the house because they were fine. If he was new while I was sleeping, they would have had a conniption fit.
Oh, okay.
They went to bed with me and woke up with me without moving and were in no hurry to go downstairs.
You think there's no way they wouldn't have heard the rustling and all
right.
that? Okay.
Or even so much they, you know, went down and like, oh, that's Jeffrey's balcony dude. But so I assume at some point that morning, real morning, not my morning,
right,
the guy woke up and shimmied the, because with the dog door and everything, shimmied the slider open and went in and went, took his pants off. Fuck, I don't even like saying this shit out loud. Because it was right next to the fucking slider. His pants are just there because there was my old tandem bicycle. And over the bicycle was the pants I was trying to take in.
So that's why they were soaking wet. So that's a good detail because it was raining.
Yes.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. So fucking thankful. So he walked a few feet in, saw pants, dropped trowel, put my pants on, went to the kitchen and said, this motherfucker knows how to shop, and started cooking. My dog stayed in the room because I was in the room. There's no way they didn't meet him before I got home.
Right.
Because he's cooking meat. They didn't burn their noses off.
Right.
They knew there was somebody there.
Yeah.
That would be my only guess.
All right.
Okay, so we're out of the way with fingerprinting. We're out of the way with the DNA'd undies. There was somebody else who came by. Secondary interview.
FBI profiler?
Must have been. So now we're up to Tuesday.
Okay.
And the night before, I had already kind of cracked. Now, when I say cracked, I mean...
I'm sorry, the night before being the night after it happened.
Correct.
Okay.
So, Sunday, I woke up to the Hamburglar. Monday, the fingerprinter basically said there's no way to get prints, and I didn't know about underwear DNA. Like, they didn't even say they're taking it for his DNA. They just took out a bag and were like, we're going to get rid of this shit for you.
Okay.
It wasn't until the next day that they're like, well, they did find DNA, and I'm like, ugh.
That is the worst franchise of CSI.
Yeah. CSI underwear DNA.
CSI junkie underwear DNA.
So Monday nights, as you mentioned, I spend way too much time on Instagram.
Yeah. So no, you spend the perfect amount of time because I know what's going on with you.
There you go. So I mildly cracked at the revelation of, oh, the cops didn't tell you not to clean up, so we can't get fingerprints.
Okay.
So my mindset goes to, there's no proof. Mm-hmm. This guy's in the neighborhood. Knows not only am I some crazy guy who chased them with a meat cleaver, but I have an amazing selection of meats in my fridge. Somebody has to deal with this kid.
So you're legitimately afraid he might either come back for revenge or just try and get some more tasty burgers.
Well, he didn't seem like the revenge-seeking type where I felt like he was going to show up to fight me, because luckily he just kept running as I chased him with a meat cleaver.
But you didn't think that was enough of a deterrent to keep him away forever? Not to like...
No, I think he realized, hey, this guy gets home at 5 in the fucking morning, so when it gets late at night, I can break in here and throw a fucking kegger.
Good point.
And leave by the time this drunk guy who wakes up at fucking noon with his dogs gets home.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Very self-aware.
Great. I'm putting this on a podcast. So if you want to break into my house, the times to do it are...
Just look for the balcony with all the witches and goblins.
I have a roommate now, so it's okay.
Okay, good.
So he is there at the hours that I'm at the after hours. So you hamburglers, you just watch it. Okay, so I cracked and basically decided... There's no way the cops are doing anything. I was so livid that they didn't tell me to leave everything in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So this chick can't get any fingerprints. And I'm like, there's nothing I can do but find this guy myself. So I take to the streets. I go full Batman. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I could say legally and not legally. I guess I didn't do anything, so I guess it's all kind of legal.
Yeah.
But let's just say...
I saw these videos.
I was not unprepared for altercation.
Okay, well, that I don't know. we'll just leave it at
but
that.
Obviously, this is...
Well, what did you have?
This is a transient, which is the term we're going to use for a homeless dude in my neighborhood, because if you say homeless and you go, you're the problem. But a transient in my neighborhood. Uh-huh. So I had to search all the transient... tents and encampments.
Right.
But my plan was not to murder this individual.
Right.
My plan was to get this individual thrown in jail because I realized the cops were not going to do it.
Right.
But I had his photo. I had proof he was in my home.
And your reasoning for wanting him in jail was so that he couldn't...
be in my freaking home again. Right. Does this not make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to John.
No, I'm just clarifying for the listeners.
Yes, the people who know how to break into my home and eat my food are the people I don't want living in my neighborhood.
Jeffrey, I'm just making sure everyone understands why you're walking around rattling homeless people's tents at 1 in the morning.
Rattling.
I'm trying to look out for you. Were you like knocking on tents going, hey, motherfucker, is that motherfucker in there?
No, because...
Going, hey, excuse me, I'm looking for this guy.
You can't get in a fight with 75 homeless people before you fight the guy you're looking for.
Right. So you were being...
So you have to be civil. I mean, obviously I have to climb around the churches and stuff, and I'm literally having to step over sleeping bags with my flashlight out.
Right.
And I'm just looking for... Basically, his hair. He had like shaggy fucking surfer guy hair.
Yeah.
This kid... I mean, you could look him up. He was like a competitor, like in the winning rounds on the East Coast to be an Olympic swimmer.
Okay.
Wow.
His Facebook says he was a promoter and then he moved to Hollywood and lives in my kitchen. Cunt.
So that explains he had a refined palate.
Yeah.
That explains the
cover. He's like all these Halloween decorations reminds me of him, you know.
He's like, well, I know
Summers in the Hamptons.
I know it's not real Kobe beef, but it'll do in a pinch.
Damn tootin'.
Okay.
I'm literally like going around and I'm not yelling, hey, fuck you guy on the street. I'm just like walking past it. If I can't see faces or hair, I'm doing like the until people roll over and I'm like, sorry, my bad.
I like this. Okay.
But yeah, there was a lot like, and when they have the closed tents and I can tell people where they're like, hey, looking for somebody. And they'll unzip it and be like, what? Like, I'm looking for somebody. And I have my phone. I'm like, looking for this guy. Uh-huh. Like, we don't know this guy. I'm like, okay, dokie, have a good night.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't.
I was probably projecting something on you because I knew how angry
I was.
Were. Yeah.
Yes,
I was probably quite projecting.
I was quite angry.
Something onto the situation that wasn't happening. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, this story.
2019. If I was going to attack people every time I would get angry, there'd be no people left.
Okay. So you're tapping on tents.
So yeah, I do that Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night.
You're munching it up out there.
And I go out to the bars first. I wasn't
you like that, Ian? No? Okay.
I wasn't neglecting my social life by any means. And I worked Monday. I went to like Cloak on Tuesday, did something Wednesday, I don't remember. But I was out, and then, because that's prime time, you wait till 2, mm-hmm. they're done stealing. So we've got these three nights of going out, but during the day, I'm joining all these community groups. Even my ex, who doesn't like me as far as anybody can tell, posted a picture of him on one of her Facebook groups.
Your
she's
ex-wife?
In. My doggy mama.
Okay.
Doggy mama.
Well, because she has literal concern. My dogs are there. She doesn't want people kicking my dogs.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, you know, she's got a heart. Doesn't want people kicking our dogs. So Facebook is coded, which actually Facebook on Tuesday pulled down his photo because I had hundreds of shares, thousands of comments between them, and a lot of bleeding heart. Like, I used to call myself a liberal. If you asked me on February 2nd if I was a liberal, I would have said, hell yes.
Right.
And then I met the people who call themselves liberals. The people who say things like, you're such a dick, maybe the guy's just hungry, you ever think of that? He's in my kitchen! He's in my fucking kitchen! Where's your kitchen? Where's your kitchen? I will send him the fucking address. There were so many people mad at me for posting a photo to try to find the guy who invaded my home.
Right.
While me and my dogs were there.
Yes.
To do whatever the hell he wanted.
Amen.
Mind you.
Yes.
He did not kill me in my sleep.
Right.
But you want to know a fun thought?
What?
He could have, and I wouldn't have woken up for it.
That's true.
That's why we'll get to the charges eventually. But home invasion, when you know somebody's there, is a much more severe crime.
Interesting.
We'll get there. So Facebook actually pulled it down because people kvetched. He's up there saying,
so
we're
someone tagged it or flagged it or whatever they call it these days.
And people are complaining. I believe I said something in there of, if you see him, please call 911. Here's the police report number. If you don't feel like you want to talk to the cops, just beat him up for me. So, you know, but I did that like you both just laughed.
Yeah, right.
So it got taken down and I was kind of livid about that. The next day, there's a kvetch button. Where they're like, your post taken down because it violated community standards. Right. Do you want to dispute this?
Right.
So I hit the kvetch button and I kvetched and I sent them the police report number and the detective's phone number. And I'm like, here, motherfucker.
Right.
The next day it came back up. But I was also on Neighbors by Ring, which I now own a full Ring alarm system. And there were like five, I guess, other neighborhood,
the community is how you
policing
call them?
Apps.
Okay.
That I put his photo up on.
Next door.
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah.
But as the stuff gets shared, and friends are sharing it, but total strangers are sharing it. One of my favorites, the band Junkyard, actually shared it. Like,
nice.
On their thing, they shared it, and it turns out they were friends with the dudes who owned Baba's old tattoo shop at Hollywood and Las Palmas.
Okay.
So they chimed in like, yeah, we know that motherfucker. He tried to steal a jacket from us on Friday or Saturday.
What?
We ran out after him. And, see, I didn't say anything because I don't want to make any accusations. And got our jacket back.
Oh.
Now, mind you.
Wait, this is, I'm sorry.
I have photos of him. He looked fine. They did not.
So this is before he came to your house.
This was 24 to 48 hours before he was living in my kitchen.
Okay.
The next day, Monday, mm-hmm. I also found out from sharing all this stuff that Gwen Restaurants around the corner from my house,
yes.
That little hoity-toity expensive butcher shop restaurant place, the day after, the Monday, when they get their morning pastry deliveries, he apparently stole all those and took off.
Okay.
Somebody recognized him from there.
This guy's a neighborhood menace.
He's a menace.
He's literally a criminal. He was a jock, which is an insult if you ask me. But he was a jock, but he kind of had his shit together and he found drugs and decided, I have no filter, no anything. I don't care if I'm stealing jackets from a bunch of crazy tattoo artist looking guy motherfuckers or if I'm going to hoity-toity restaurant people and stealing their fucking morning supplies. So days go by. I'm coughing at sleeping bags and shaking tents. Can't find him. I get a few leads. I got one lead. Somebody thought they saw him at a subway station. I literally left my bar job. I'm like, can you cover for me for 20 minutes? Hauled ass to the Vine at Hollywood station. And I already called 911. The cops were there. The cops were upstairs. So I show up and they're at their car on the streets. And I'm like, they're like, are you the one who called him? I'm like, yes, that's why I just flipped a U-turn in front of you. I'm not looking for a ticket. And I'm like, did you see him? They're like, see who? And I'm like, the reason you're here, the guy who broke into my home that somebody said might be here. Well, no, we didn't see anybody suspicious here. I'm like, on the streets in front of the Pantages Theater. Really? Thank you for your fucking help, officers. So I'm like, am I going to get a ticket parked in front of you in the red zone? They're like, no. I'm like, well, I'll go look for him my fucking self. So I go down to the train station. I jump over the fucking rail because I'm not going to pay $3 to get on the red line and not get on the red line. I'm like, hopefully they don't arrest me for this. I look around, can't find him anywhere. I go back up, thank the cops for, you know, nothing there versus doing nothing where they were supposed to do nothing.
Right. Near miss.
This is how my couple of days went. But I kept searching. And Thursday, I wake up early in the morning. Because my phone's, I got the beeps. And I see a beep, and it says, I'm pretty sure, and this was on Neighbors by Ring. It just says like Neighbor 62. I'm pretty sure I just saw this guy at McDonald's at Romaine and Western. He was there for a minute. I noticed him already because he was at Spartan Final across the street, laying down across the driveway to the parking lot. Got up, came in there, was kind of making a ruckus, but I'm pretty sure that's him. So I throw my clothes on from last night and I fucking jump in my car and I haul ass, which you might have seen because I was Instagram video. I'm like, I'm going to catch this motherfucker.
I remember pieces of this, but I don't think I don't know.
So I haul ass down there and I look around. I don't see him. So I'm like, fuck. So I go to McDonald's at Western and Romaine, and yes, I'm throwing them under the bus on this. And I asked the very sweet lady manager, I'm like, hey, see this photo? Was this guy here? I heard this guy's here. This guy, he's a criminal. There's a police report. They're looking for him. Broke into my home. And she's like, no, he hasn't been here. And I'm like, are you sure? Can you take a look? Somebody said, did somebody kind of look like him? And I'm just getting bad intel. And she's like, no, this guy was not here. And all of a sudden, the dude making the fries is like, nah, that's the dude who stole that lady's bag of food and ran out the fucking door.
Why is the lady telling you no?
I'm like, really? You're so, like, do I look like the, like a cop? Like, I can't talk to the fuzz. Like, dude broke into my house. So yeah, the guy's like, yeah. And I'm like, excuse me, manager lady, I need to talk to Fry Guy.
By the way,
all
I
this
like that
catch the Hamburglar, by the way.
I like that he's, sounds like he's from Brooklyn, at least in your version.
He might as well be.
Hey! Bada boom!
These are just the predetermined voices for the characters in the story of my life.
I love it.
This guy sounded like he was from Western Romaine.
So you get with the Fry Guy.
So I'm like, Fry Guy, where'd he go? And he's like, well, I grabbed this chick's bag of food, and he took off, and I'm like, which way did he run? And he's like, he ran that way, pointing north. So I get in my car, and I start going north. So Romaine, you know, you're a few blocks south of Santa Monica Boulevard. So I'm going through every alley. I'm going back and forth up each side streets, and I'm just doing the slow roll, looking for some junkie eating stolen McDonald's next to a dumpster.
Right.
I'd say I went like an hour.
Okay.
I almost got, I passed the highway, and I was over by Sunset, and I'm like, this is too far. Junkies don't have this kind of energy. And I turned around and I went back, and you know, there's that huge like junkie compound right there on the area, that one street that kind of cuts through. If you want a shortcut from Western to Santa Monica to get on the highway, there's that one
pointless street,
and there's a lot of them back there. And then there's an alley back there with a lot of tents. And you know, I saw a lot of people shooting up and doing crack, but not my guy.
Okay.
And I don't judge.
Right.
So I passed the other crackheads and junkies. And I just don't play darts with the needles as I pass. So I was going south again, and about 4 or 5 doors north of Santa Monica Boulevard, on the right side, I see the store manager, runner, the guy working there, like flailing his arms, blah, 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 get the fuck out of it. I'm just like, this looks like my cue. And I kind of stop and I look, and some shaggy-haired skinny motherfucker is trying to walk into the back, and the shop clerk guy is coming up from behind the counter bitching at this kid, getting the fuck out. You can't go back there. And I'm like, I need to find parking. So I flip around the block, I get parking, and I take a peek, and I'm like, that's the fucking kid. So this guy chases him out, and he instantly goes into the next store. And when I say instantly, this guy moves as quickly as the LAPD was trying to find him. Right. So now he's in the next store. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. And mind you, he walked up right next to me, walked into the next store. He's high out of his fucking gourd.
Right.
Looks like a Keanu Reeves character in a movie.
Yes. No recognition.
And it's, there's no spoon. Whoa. So I get knocked out of there. Now he gets chased out of the next store, and I'm literally feet from him when 911 finally takes me off hold. And I'm like, hi, this is me. Here's my police report numbers. Here's the detective in charge, his name. I got the guy. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I got the guy. They're like, well, should you call the detective? I'm like, no, the detective said to call 911. I need a squad car here to pick up the guy because I don't want to touch him. And they're like, what do you mean? They were so confused. I'm like, you guys were supposed to arrest somebody. You did not arrest somebody. I tracked somebody down with my iPhone. Somebody standing next to me. And they're like, are you safe? And I'm like, yes. I made a phone call. Do I sound panicked? Like, seriously, it was surreal. And they're like, well, where is he? I'm like, he's next to me. And they're like, well, what is he doing? And I'm like, do we not talk about the junkie that broke into my, like, and I mentioned this. I'm like, he's high on dope. He's 4 feet to my right. He has no idea I'm bitching to you to come fucking arrest him. Like, but he doesn't recognize you? I'm like, he doesn't recognize anything. Drugs are bad, lady. Send the squad car. So then he starts walking. And I'm like, well, he's walking. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm walking. I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm like, I'm going to throw the towel. It's like, I'm parked that way. He's walking that way. So I follow him, and I have to update her because it's very important. I was no longer on Western north of Santa Monica. I was then on Santa Monica west of Western.
Right.
But we clarified that, and the cops showed up, and here's, I was off the phone, and I hung up with them so I could go Instagram Live, which I think you saw this part too.
I saw the pictures of them getting arrested.
So they come out, and they're like, hey, are you so-and-so? And I'm like, I hope so, because I'm the other guy, but a lot of trouble. So like, well, where is this? And they were skeptical, like very openly. It's like, so where is this burglar? This home invader? I'm like, the home invader's right there. Like, that's the guy? Like, yeah, I'm like, on the street. I'm like, yeah, my home isn't here. This is not a home invasion. That's the home invader. Like, you got to realize, whatever I interrupted you from doing, it's because I was catching him. So they eventually go, and sadly, he was in shorts. I forgot to throw that out. It was no longer the gray slacks.
I was going to ask about the pants.
So they cuff him, and I took off, I un-Clark Kented, I took off my sunglasses at that point. I'm like, ha ha, I caught you.
You were taunting him?
No, I was just standing next to him. I was just like, he can't recognize me. I'm the purple haired guy in sunglasses, not the purple haired guy in a bathrobe.
You need to go grab some Kobe beef burgers and some Hebrew National Franks.
So they toss him in jail.
Okay.
They cuff him.
Good.
He was high out of his gourd. He goes away. I call the detective. At that point, I found out they already ran the DNA. And they're like, yes, this is the guy who matches the DNA of the undies in your living room. And I'm like, but you weren't looking? Or telling me you don't look? Like,
because so, like,
once I looked him up online, I found his Olympic qualifications. Right. I found his parents' house. Like, I found a lot about him online just by having his fucking name. Apparently, they already found him. So I get my court subpoena, and I go there, and I meet with the cop, who's a very nice guy, it was really a fun moment at the Wilcox Hotel, where he comes out and he's giving me the subpoena, which normally I have to track you down. I'm like, no, I will pick that shit up to show up in court. And I sign the thing saying I'm claiming the subpoena. And he goes, I gotta tell you, my bosses were like, how the hell did you catch this guy so fast? And I just looked at him and I said, I'm Batman.
Jeffrey, damn it.
What a story.
You know, I was listening back to that, just walking down the street, giggling like a fucking idiot.
Me too. When I was editing it, I laughed a lot.
Oh, just walking down the street, giggling like a fool.
Like a fool.
It's fun. I hope you people giggled like idiots when you listen to that.
Now, unfortunately,
yeah?
Police are still 0 for 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cops.
Yeah.
This one was a softball.
The picture.
All a cop could have probably sat in his cruiser on the corner of Jeffrey Street and the major street in which it intersects,
yeah,
and seen this guy walk by.
Yes.
If he sat there for one day.
Just leave something not nailed down that has a modicum of value or nutrition. And this guy's going to show up and fucking... He grabbed the McDonald's bag. He's a food bird. He is literally the Hamburglar.
And how about Jeffrey Batman?
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I know about Jeffrey. He's Batman.
Pretty much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you very much.
It was
much.
So fun hanging out with you.
Such a great story, too.
Oh, so...
Okay.
Nextdoor.com.
No, she saw it on Ring Neighbors.
Thank God, because yeah. Nextdoor.com is the worst. Fucking yeah. dumpster fire.
So my girlfriend Vanessa saw this picture and heard this tale. She didn't hear him tracking down the guy like Batman. Jeffrey tracking down the guy right. like Batman. But she knew this story of guy wakes up, finds homeless guy cooking in the kitchen, takes picture, and had seen the picture. I showed it to her, and she's like, yeah, no, that's the one I saw. I was like, are you fucking kidding? Like, I know it's Los Angeles, and that's not that big of a social media thing, but it's still fucking crazy.
Was she glad to hear that justice had been served, or did she know? Was she following along?
I have not told her. She does not know how this story ends.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
She said, so what happens? I said, well, you don't have to listen.
Yeah, you're gonna have to give us a listen on our analytics.
Big old numbers. She listens anyway, but
our ladies don't get this for free.
No, sir.
So you're hearing this on October 2nd.
Yep.
Between now and when we drop our October episode, I'm gonna have a birthday.
You are.
And here's what I want for my birthday.
Go ahead, Joel. What do you want?
This is my wish list.
You have a list. You're like a little kid.
I got out the JCPenney catalog. I flipped it open.
Okay.
I started writing down what I want. I want 5-star ratings.
Okay, that's right there.
I want glowing reviews on the podcast distributor of your choice.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what I really want?
Yeah.
Is a postcard with a little story on it that we can read.
Do this, guy.
This must be the problem. We must have never mentioned that we also have an email address. thestoryholepod@gmail.com.
Do you think we've mentioned like our Instagram, thestoryholepod on Instagram?
Impossible.
Yeah, I don't think we did.
That's our bad for obviously never having done that before.
We are sorry.
And you know what, Ian? I feel like a moron because like 6 months ago, I started this P.O. Box. Yeah, P.O. Box 7573.
Yeah.
Burbank, California 91510-7573.
That one, okay.
And I think I forgot to tell anybody about it.
I think it's the first I'm hearing of it.
Here's the deal, folks.
Hit it.
If I don't get a story in that real life story hole, I'm going to start reading the junk mail. That's what the podcast is going to become. Just me reading the junk mail I get to that P.O. box.
Not bad. Next week, bring in the junk mail for the October episode. Unless we get a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah. I got you a rate and review from me.
Oh, yeah, you gave that to me. That was a very early birthday present.
Well, listen, what are you going to do?
Thank you for listening to The Story Hole. The Story Hole is produced by Joel Huggins and Ian Golding. Our music was supplied by Missouri all-time greats, the Incontinentals. Thank you, fellas. We'll be back next month, but if you like what you've heard, please subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and please take a moment to write a nice review. Those reviews help us bump up in the ratings and help other people discover our little podcast here. For more, check us out on Instagram and at thestoryhole.com. Bye.